Museums interact with and serve many different audiences and age groups through programming, which is one of the best ways to activate and apply their mission. Most often, the educational opportunities take place at the museum. But M&G found that we needed to go to the learners within their environment for deeper learning with a more lasting impact. This is Erin Jones, Director of the Museum and Gallery of Bob Jones University, with M&G's podcast, Art Break. And this month, we're hosting a conversation. What is M&G's Museum on the Move? For years, M&G has offered tours for K-12 students, on-site scavenger hunts, and even interactive hands-on exploration space. But in the early 2000s, we just weren't seeing as many school-aged young people as we were wanting. We talked to teachers and learned how difficult it was becoming for them to plan field trips and how they really needed enrichment support within their specific subjects. So we decided to bring M&G to them. In the academic year 2008-09, M&G launched Museum on the Move. We taught around 200 students in about 10 classrooms. At our 10-year mark, 2018-19, the Museum on the Move outreach had grown to 463 classrooms and 12,436 students. 95% of the students were in public schools. To provide the fullest picture of what this M&G program is, we'll hear from several people. They'll introduce themselves as they share. So let's begin with simply describing or explaining what Museum on the Move is.
My name is Kirsten Dalton, one of the M&G's educators. Museum on the Move is a wonderful tool in which one of the M&G educators partners with the teacher who selects one of the lessons. In general, the lessons are usually formatted with an engaging PowerPoint followed by an age-appropriate art activity. Depending on the lesson, there are also activity stations and hands-on learning aided by props. These one-hour experiences are just one of M&G's ways to serve our students. We really look forward to getting into the community and partnering with so many teachers and learners.
So how is Museum on the Move connected to M&G's overall mission? I mean, why do we even do it?
My name is Donalyn Hess, and I'm Director of Education for the Museum and Gallery. Sharing the beauty of God's Word and works informs everything that we do at M&G, and of course that includes our educational outreaches. Every painting in the collection is like a picture book of the past. It opens our eyes to the people, places, talents, innovations, successes, and yes, the failures of those who've gone before. And really, our culture needs that knowledge as never before. And we're not the only ones that think that. The noted philosopher Roger Scruton, who recently passed away, made this statement. A strange superstition has arisen in the Western world that we can start all over again, remaking human nature, human society, and the possibilities of happiness, as though the knowledge and experience of our ancestors were now entirely irrelevant. The past isn't irrelevant, and the treasures we have at M&G are a constant reminder of that value. Now, Scruton made another really astute observation about our culture in one of his most popular books that has the title Beauty. Now, in that work, he writes, "Beauty is vanishing from our world because we live as though it did not matter. Beauty matters. It is not just a subjective thing, but a universal need of human beings. And if we ignore this need, we find ourselves in a spiritual desert." Now, one of the major goals of our Museum on the Move educators is to integrate beauty into the core curricula in a way that inspires students to develop into the artful, thoughtful, graceful individuals they were created to be.
All right. So, Donalyn, what do you mean, though, by artful, thoughtful, graceful?
Well, by artful, we mean that students are able to understand and appreciate the origin and purpose, really, of creativity, curiosity, and even wonder. And by thoughtful, we mean that they learn to delight in the process of critical thinking and ultimately wisdom, which is critical thinking informed by a reverence for God. And by graceful, we mean that they're able to interact with others, even those with whom they might disagree, in a way that encourages the outworking of goodness and love.
Do you think you can give maybe a specific example of how those principles are integrated?
Sure. For example, we have a lesson on the Industrial Revolution, and in that lesson, we use the art, paintings and photographs of the era, to tell the story of what's happening to the people of the time. Now, of course, those images raise questions about the complex problems of the era, like poverty and child labor. But they also highlight the social reformers that set out to expose and find solutions for these problems. So following the lesson presentation, students are given an opportunity to discuss the problems and explore the solutions. And then after the discussion, they create a postcard and write a message from the perspective of a Victorian child. That can be a young factory worker, a chimney sweep, or a street musician. What this activity does is help them empathize with these children of the past, but also make connections to children in our culture that may be dealing with similar complex problems.
Good. And that's actually one of my favorite lessons and activities that's been developed. Okay, so then what is really the benefit of an arts integration approach specifically? I mean, not everyone really, well, they might say they don't like art, or maybe they just don't appreciate it. So are there benefits to including art?
Over the years, there are certain things that all of us have learned about the importance of visual literacy generally and arts integration specifically. And all of what we've learned supports our understanding of the value of our programs. For example, researchers have noted that all of us process images 60,000 times faster than text. Now, in addition, the Visual Teaching Alliance notes three really fascinating facts. First, approximately 65% of the population are visual learners. Secondly, visual aids in the classroom, things like paintings, photographs, charts, visual connectors, actually improve learning by up to 400%. And then third, students who are 2E, which are twice exceptional, are often visual learners. But with regard to arts integration, there was an interesting study done years ago by a man named James Cantorell. It was a 12-year longitudinal study of 25,000 students, and it traced their progress from their 8th grade year until their 26th birthday. Now, what the study found was that students with high arts involvement performed better academically across all socioeconomic levels. In addition, these students had far better attitudes toward community outreach. Following graduation, they were more likely to be working for nonprofits, registered to vote, involved with politics, and simply doing volunteer work. So across any metric, across any economic level, the arts were the key tie-in to this greater involvement. So studies like these, coupled with what we see on a daily basis with the students we encounter, whatever their age, really inspires the joy we have in what we do.
Yes. Wow. Well, thank you for sharing those stats on the visual imagery and really the power of that. And that's a great study that is worth reviewing too by Cantorell. All right. So let's turn now to some more of the practical elements connected to Museum on the Move so that the listener understands some specific things. What does it look like, all of this? So how does Museum on the Move even work?
I'm Anna Hamrick, the Museum on the Move scheduling coordinator, which means that I oversee the registration process. If you're interested in scheduling a lesson, I would suggest that you begin by going to the museum and gallery website, which is bjumg.org. Under the Events tab, click on the Museum on the Move link. This is where you'll find all the information about our in-person lessons, as well as our new digital lessons. This is also where you'll find my contact information. If you'd like to schedule a lesson, just call me or email me. I'll send you a very simple Google form and will then help you complete the registration process. If you register for a digital lesson, you'll receive an email from the museum with instructions for accessing all the materials. If you register for an in-person lesson, an educator will contact you shortly before the lesson to finalize all the details. Then she will come to your classroom, teach your students a standards-based lesson, and lead them in a corresponding art activity. Now here's the good news. You don't need to provide or prepare any supplies for the art project. The educator will bring everything. If you have technology available in your classroom, such as a projector, she will probably use that, but she can even bring technology if necessary.
Good, very good. And if you forgot the website, we'll return to that a little later in the interview too. All right, so is this Museum on the Move, is it really only for art classes and students?
I'm Britt Meyer, a former Museum on the Move educator, and I'm currently the preschool and elementary art teacher at First Presbyterian Academy at Shannon Forest in downtown Greenville. As far as whether this is for only art classes and students, I would say that absolutely it is a wonderful resource for art teachers, and we've had several art teachers in the past utilize this program really efficiently to take it to all of their different students. And so we've had one art teacher who would have us come back several times throughout the year. And one time we did our Catawba Indian Nation project in the art room for the, I believe it was third grade history lesson. And then we came back later to that same art room to do the art of illustration lesson with the first graders. So we have a lot of art teachers who do utilize this program efficiently, but the lessons are actually designed very strategically for the classroom. So I would say that that's actually where our goal is to be. And we think through everything from setting up materials to clean up at the end of the time that we have allotted. And it flows very seamlessly from the beginning to the end. So you don't have to worry about the classroom not being the right place for it because we've thought about all the details.
So, Britt, then besides art, what might be some other types of subjects that you would give the lesson?
We have lessons for all of the subject areas from history. History is one of the ones that we have the most lessons for. We actually have a huge history focus that we take into the sixth grade classrooms in a lot of Greenville area schools, also Malden and think of the other ones. But yeah, so that's what a really popular one. But we also focus on math. So we have a math and art lesson, and we have a forensic science lesson that's really fun. And we've also been invited to a school to do an engineering day where the kids had different activities throughout the day, and they would come and do our lesson as a event during the day. So that was really fun.
So then what's the age range for these lessons? And maybe just to tack on to that, with those age ranges, what student seems to benefit the most from the lessons?
So we have lessons that are compatible for as low as the K-3 classroom, which is really fun because I actually am a former preschool teacher, so I love working with the little ones. And then all the way up to 12th grade. We've gone to 12th grade classrooms and done proportion studies for the face. But I would say the bulk of our lessons really focus on standards for 4th grade through 7th grade and some 8th grade. But we have, like I said before, we have a ton of 6th graders. Or we have a ton of sixth grade teachers who want us to come and do a history unit once a month. So that's really exciting.
Do you think there's any kind of learner or student, though, that particularly, you know, the lesson makes a difference for them?
This is a difficult question because, honestly, there are so many different kind of students, and we see a benefit for all students. We have students who aren't usually engaged, and they perk up when we come in the door. We have students who are naturally engaged, and they absolutely are thrilled when we come, but every single student is engaged when we come, and we don't usually have any classroom management problems because the kids are just so excited for us to come.
Good, good. Well, and we love offering it. We love these students. Well, then where have you traveled as a Museum on the Move educator?
My name is Carissa Wells, and I'm a former educator at the Museum and Gallery. I currently teach kindergarten at a local preschool. And when I traveled for a Museum on the Move, I primarily would travel within the Greenville area, but occasionally we'd go out to Spartanburg. We even went out to Columbia a couple times and even down to the coast of South Carolina, a town called Beaufort, where I grew up. But we really did a lot of traveling. We put a lot of miles in.
And I know we've also sent educators into North Carolina and Georgia for some lessons. Carissa, when you go, what do the teachers say after the lesson, and how are the students responding to the lesson?
Teachers are always very enthusiastic for us to come into their classrooms to assist in supplementing their curriculum. And because of all of our lessons are based on state standards, teachers can easily identify how our program assists them in meeting their objectives. And so they're very excited for us to come in. It's a change of pace for them. It's different. They get a break. The teachers enjoy our lessons because they always involve a project. The children or the students can leave the class with an actual project, a physical reminder of what they learned about. I think the students were always very excited to have us. I know Britt already kind of mentioned this, but it's different for them. And those who are really into art, they get to take home a project with them that will help them to remember what they learned that day in class.
Good. And sure, like Donna Lynn said, too, with the power of imagery and our remembering visuals so much, then it does really, truly help those students and the teachers. Okay, so this one's maybe for Britt and Carissa. Why don't you just share a few examples of the lessons used in the program and maybe expand to further what are the many choices really that these teachers have to choose from?
I'll go ahead. What immediately came to my mind were our lessons that we teach on the ancient civilizations, and these are really popular in the area. I know Britt already mentioned this, but especially they line up perfectly with the middle school curriculum on social studies, and especially when they're talking about they're learning their ancient civilizations, the classical civilizations. We have lessons on ancient Greece, ancient Rome. When we talk about ancient Greece, they get to create a mask, and we talk about drama. That lesson can be adapted for a social studies classroom or even an ELA classroom, depending on how we focus it. The ancient Rome lesson, again, you can get more into architecture, and you can talk about their mosaics. The children actually get to create a mosaic that they take home with them. And again, these are very ideal for the history classrooms for sixth and seventh grade. We even get to go in and talk about ancient Israel because in that grade they study world religions, and we can talk about the difference between Christianity and Judaism, which really creates a really unique opportunity for us to go in and talk about the life of Jesus. And these lessons are very easy for us to connect to the museum because we have artifacts from those different places, and of course we can show paintings, and it's just an easy way for us to connect them back to the museum. But I think those are definitely some of our most popular ones that we teach in the local area.
And as a follow-up to the most popular ones, I'm going to share a couple of my favorites. So I think at the very top of the list would be our Da Vinci lesson, where we talk about the life and all of the different works of Da Vinci, from him being a botanist to being the first person to create a bird's eye view map of a city. And the kids are just wowed by all of the different things that he does. And then when we do our centers, we have originally the the lesson was created with four centers, but for our engineering event that we did at the one school I mentioned, we actually added two additional centers to accommodate for that large group of kids. And it was such a blast. The kids had a fun time, and we had a trebuchet that we did an experiment to see how far we could fling our little clay boulders. And we also had little nature journals where they could try to copy something from nature, like the botanist Da Vinci. And I'm trying to think of some of the other. Oh, one of our the ones that I enjoyed the most was having the students pick an airplane design and then have a contest to see whose airplane went the furthest. So that was kind of fun because obviously a lot of our early ideas for an airplane came from Da Vinci. I also particularly enjoy the art of illustration lesson, which as an artist, I have a BFA in studio art from Bob Jones University. And so I'm particularly fond of this one because of the art aspect of it, but we revamped it at one point to include the series of unfortunate events, which is really popular among some kids. And so the kids at the very end of the lesson, after we talk about the different forms of illustration, get to choose one of the Baudelaire orphans, and they illustrate the orphans from the character description in the book. So that's a really exciting exercise for the kids. And we've done it with fourth graders and eighth graders, and they love it. All of, like, doesn't matter what age. We also have, I mentioned that we go down as far as K-3. And so we have some elements of art centers that we do with K-3 and K-4. And we'll do color mixing with them, and they'll get to play with lines and they can play with shapes. And then we have a special story for them where they interact with different textures as we tell the story. So that's exciting too. And we have several lessons as well that incorporate clay, so kids get that hands-on experience that they don't usually get.
And they haven't even shared all of the lessons. There are still dozens more that cover history and math, science, and language arts too. As Donalyn explained, we're really using a liberal arts approach. So as an educator then, you've had to adapt lessons to fit the specific class's needs and focus. Can you explain a little bit about how you've done that? I mean, how does that happen? And maybe you just need to share a couple of examples for that adaptation.
So we actually, as a base, we look at the standards. We look at the state standards for every subject area, and we develop our lessons directly from that. So it will fit in any classroom in South Carolina. And then from there, teachers can communicate with us if there's something specific that they want us to adapt. And we can adapt things as small as incorporating some vocabulary words that the teachers specifically want us to focus on, all the way to taking, there was one teacher that had a student who was particularly interested in journalistic illustrations. And so we took the World War I propaganda lesson and we rewrote the ending so that it focused more on careers. And we had that nice component to it. So we can really kind of play with the lessons and fit anything that the teachers want us to fit it to.
It's interesting how you brought up the World War I propaganda lesson, because I actually was going to reference that as well. But one particular example that I can think of is we were going into a classroom and they were studying the book called Animal Farm. And normally when we talk about propaganda, we would put it in the context of World War I. But that teacher specifically asked us if we could adapt that lesson to talk about propaganda in Animal Farm. And so we completely kind of changed that lesson up. And so that's just one really good example of how a teacher can come in and they can take a topic that we do teach, but then change it to fit what they're teaching in the classroom. Another thing I thought of was, I know sometimes when you meet with the teachers ahead of time, we have what we call a pre-museum on the move meeting. And in that meeting, we can kind of get an idea of what they're learning in the classroom, what they're interested in, and they can see the lessons we have available. But I have also had art teachers reach out and they've requested that we develop a lesson on a certain topic. And that actually happened once before. We created a whole new lesson called Diversity in Art, and it talked about art over different cultures and how it looked very different from culture to culture. And we created that lesson for an elementary school with them actually asking us to do it. And then we were able to go in and to teach that lesson from kindergarten all the way up through third grade. So we even have that happen where you talk with a teacher and they request a need or a desire for a lesson. And if we can, we make that happen.
And that's actually one of our most popular lessons now, too.
So it turned into a really great, useful lesson. Yeah, good work.
I would also say some Title I schools might not have as much funding for these programs. And just like we did for the school that requested a journalistic aspect to the propaganda lesson, there are several lessons that we can actually rewrite to have a careers component. And if you are a teacher that wants to have Museum on the Move come and you don't have the funds, you can go to your career counselor and get them involved in the conversation and together talk to Anna Hamrick and the educator to try to figure out how you can make it work. Some lessons that might work really well for this would be forensics and science, focusing on art conservation. We also have the ancient Egypt lesson, which we could focus on archaeology, art history, and landmark conservation. And then two more, art of illustration. You can focus on how to become an illustrator and also focusing on various fields of illustration. And then Greek drama, which would be really fun. We could adjust it to talk about modern day theater and cinema and then lead into costume design and set design and all of those different areas of art. So,
right. So that liberal arts approach, it helps us be flexible to be able to serve a variety of classes and subjects. Now, Museum on the Move, though, it has been primarily an in-person program, but how have the lessons adapted to meet COVID's challenges? And really, Britt is the best one to answer this one.
So when COVID came, that was a big shock to the system. And we spent quite a bit of time kind of just brainstorming and thinking like, okay, what can we do? And so there was a lot of looking at our lessons and writing scripts so that we could record them as videos. And so now we have several digital lessons and they all come with a teacher guide to help a teacher kind of navigate how best to use these resources. There's a lesson video that goes through the content that we would usually teach in the classroom. And then there's a separate activity video with step-by-step instructions that the students can pause if they need to at certain points. And then there are also some project samples included with it to help students generate some ideas.
That's right. So we adapted those early in the spring of last year. And then they're completed. Donalyn, Britt, and one of our other educators worked very hard to complete these. And they're online and available to be used. So the teacher can use it in person as the teacher in their classroom, or they can use these remotely with their students at home needing to study there. So with Museum on the Move, we really do prefer in person, but we can't travel everywhere, either with COVID or even the full of South Carolina or even farther yet. But these digital lessons can serve many people beyond the borders of South Carolina. Are we still able to go to classrooms and share these lessons now?
Well, unfortunately, the pandemic did greatly limit our access to classrooms. But the benefit is that we now have all of these digital lessons ready for use. Recently, though, we were able to be in one classroom and are hoping to be in several more this semester.
Yes, I recently taught the Careers in Art lesson. We introduced many different jobs in art, everything from museum careers to interior or architectural or graphic design, also illustration, animation. So after the lesson, the students listened to those paragraphs that Britt was referring to as I read, and it described the characters in the book. And then using watercolor pencils, they illustrated their favorite ones. So it was a really good time.
Anna, with these lessons, M&G just doesn't offer all these for free, so there is a cost, but what are we really talking about?
Each lesson is $50, which covers everything, including the art supplies for in-person lessons. If a teacher schedules 5 or more lessons, the cost drops to $45 per lesson. Now, that might at first sound like a lot of money, but most enrichment programs cost anywhere from 2 to 5 times as much. M&G uses fundraising to keep the cost affordable for schools.
All right, and then this is for all of you, so anyone can answer. What would you say to a teacher, an educator that's considering to have a Museum on the Move lesson, whether it's in person or a digital option?
I would say, if you have the resources, go for it. It's an excellent experience for everyone. The kids are always excited to have Museum on the Move visit, and the teachers also have a great time.
I would echo that as well. Even if you're looking over the list of lessons and you might not find exactly something that might fit your needs, we can come in. And chances are, if you have a topic you're interested in, we may have already taught a lesson similar to that in a different program, and we might be able to develop something for you. But it's a great program for all, for teachers, for students combined.
I think the fact that there's so little classroom management problems speaks for itself and shows you that kids love what's going on. I remember giving in-person tours in the museum proper, and we had so little trouble because people were very engaged and it was outside of their normal element. And so they were really learning, and that just makes me smile.
I would say if you're interested, contact me. I would love to answer any questions you have and walk you through the registration process.
And I can say, of course, having kind of not only just hired the educators who do the boots on the ground that you've heard of, but also having had them in college classes, these are top-notch educators. And the fact that there are so little classroom management problems and so much excitement really has to do with these are quality people. And so anytime you have one of them in your classroom, you will never be disappointed.
And I would add, too, that I think the quality of the content as well as the teaching and learning techniques is really something. Because I know with each of these educators that have gone out, a lot of times we'll return to the school, a school maybe over consistent years. And students who maybe not be in that classroom with the new educator that year, they will still come up to our educators and say, "You're with Museum on the Move." And then they will start telling exactly what they had learned in that class from the previous academic year. That is how memorable the teaching and the content is. And that is a pleasure. That means we're really helping these young learners and giving them some ways to remember not only facts, but connecting those facts to real life, touching, experiencing, and doing. Well, before we conclude, we'll give our entire group here, is there anything else that any of you would like to share that maybe you didn't get to say?
I do have one little anecdote. So just to kind of reemphasize how important this program is and how beneficial it would be, I taught the poetry and art lesson several times throughout the time that I worked for Museum on the Move or Museum and Gallery. And it was always fascinating to me to see how much that particular lesson allowed students to kind of to speak about their life experiences in a way that was safe and in a way that they hadn't gotten to before. And so not only does integrating art with subject matters in the classroom benefit neuro pathways and creativity and attention and behavioral problems, it's also a tool to help the students have a voice. And so I think that's maybe the coolest thing, is just giving students who might not otherwise have a voice, have a voice.
M&G's Museum on the Move helps students travel to ancient civilizations, meet masters of the arts from around the world,
explore math and science hiding in the canvases of aging masterpieces, and develop a vocabulary to further their visual literacy. In the process of developing a growing curiosity and appreciation for diverse cultures, the students also meet national and state standards. These art lessons help bring history, math, literature, and science to life. If you would like to know more about the Museum and Gallery and its internationally respected collection of European Old Masters, or if you would like to register your class for an in-person or digital Museum on the Move lesson, visit bjumg.org.